Madam Landlord.
This is Madam Landlord. All right, welcome to Madam Landlord. It's 5 minutes gone past the 4 o'clock hour on Hard Facts. Every Wednesday, every fortnight, we talk about issues around real estate, all the things that you need to know about it. And today, like I promised, we're going to be talking about covenants and contracts. It's very important. And that's why I have a lawyer here, because last week people were dragging me that, why is it that me and Kemi were the ones that are talking about it? We're sharing our experiences. When did it become a crime to share your inner experiences on the radio? But anyway, today I brought the lawyer back. Olamide Onifade, who has run away from me and gone to What's Up Lagos. It's okay. There's love in sharing. But she's joined us today because she's going to tell us it's the duty of a real estate lawyer to explain to you why you should sign a contract, if you should sign a contract, and what is binding in that contract or covenant, depending on how you want to describe it. Olamide Onifade is a real estate lawyer. She's also a family lawyer. I haven't spoken to her in a long time, so I brought her back for you on, how do they call it, on popular demand. Yes, she's back here. How are you doing, Olamide? It's good to have you join us on the show.
Hey, Marianne. It was so nice hearing from you again.
You look like sweet 16. Hey, God, what's the secret? I want it. Let's start by educating the audience as to what a covenant or a contract is and why it's that important when we're talking or considering real estate.
Okay, thank you very much. What is a covenant in a real estate, in a tenancy agreement? Mm-hmm. The law regarding tenancy agreement is basically contractual. Mm-hmm. Well, to a reasonable agreement, extent, the government has rules and regulations, but it's largely regulated by the law of contract.
Okay.
So whatever you sign is what you are buying. Mm-hmm. However, under the Lagos tenancy law, there are some regulations that as tenants and as landlords you have to follow. But largely, it is regulated by whatever between you and the landlord. So whatever you sign.
Okay.
So covenant is part of your tenancy agreement, which are so fundamental to your agreement that if there's a breach, right, on any of the sides, it's either the landlord or the tenant, it enables you to, it's an actionable right against that person.
Okay.
So those are covenants. Covenants are very fundamental in a tenancy agreement.
So does it mean that in every tenancy agreement, there must be a covenant?
Yes.
Is it a must?
Yes, because it's the foundation of the agreement and it regulates the relationship of both parties. So covenants are very important and you cannot breach it.
It's unbreachable. Perfect. If you go into a tenancy and you have no covenant, what are the dangers that you could... And I'm talking about dangers on both sides, for the person who's leasing the house, the landlord or the landlady, and for the person who's also, you know, renting. What are the dangers?
Okay, there are two side kinds of agreement that the law recognizes under tenancy agreement. There can be oral agreements and there can be written agreement, though it is safer to have a written agreement so that everything is written in black and white, especially when there's a dispute, you can all refer to. But oral agreement is also, it's also recognized. However, you cannot have an oral agreement when the lease extends for more than 3 years. So if the tenancy is still under 2 years, a year, you can have an oral agreement, which is not advisable anyway. But even in oral agreements, there's something called implied covenant.
Implied.
Implied. So even whether it is written or not written, whether you agree or not agree, by law, it is imputed into your agreement. One of it is duty to pay rent. It's a covenant. You can't breach it. Once you breach your covenant to pay rent as a tenant, then the landlord is entitled to determine your tenancy.
Huh.
There is the implied covenant of safe and habitable environment. So the landlord is supposed to provide you a safe environment. So it's a covenant. You're paying for this service. The house should be in a habitable condition. Okay. It doesn't have to be beautiful. It doesn't have to be painted, but structurally, fit for purpose, habitable for you to live. It now depends if you want to make the place very beautiful, you want to paint it here, you want a POP, another. But there are some basic conditions that have to be met.
Okay.
And also, peaceful and quiet and exclusive of a possession.
Okay.
If you pay for a flat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Once you pay for that flat, the rights of your landlord on that property is suspended until the expiration of your tenancy.
Wait, allow me. There's that argument that it's my house.
No.
It's my house. I can do whatever I want in my house. What about
if you rented a flat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then your peace and exclusive possession is limited into your flat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not to the external part of it.
Mm-hmm.
The external part of it is jointly used by other tenants. So you can't lay claim to it exclusively.
Okay.
But as tenants, right?
Mm-hmm.
If there are six flats there,
mm-hmm.
jointly as tenants, you have exclusive rights against your landlord.
Ah.
Right?
I see.
If you rented a duplex, single dwelling, you're the only one in there.
Mm-hmm.
You have exclusive rights the entire building and the exterior.
For the time that you have that lease.
Yes.
Huh.
The rights and the interest of your landlord is suspended, is in abeyance until the expiration of your tenancy.
I see.
He has the right of reversion. His interest will revert to him when your tenancy expires, but not one day until the expiration of your tenancy.
Hmm.
So he can't just barge in. Your landlord can't just barge in and you stay to my house. No. The landlord has rights. That's part of the express covenant. A landlord should have a right of inspection. Of course, you want to see once I prepare a tenancy agreement, I must put it there.
Mm.
Every 6 months, you should allow your landlord as a tenant to come into the house and see. He might not come in himself. He can send someone to come and see the state of repair. Just see. So that, you know, some people, by the time they leave your house, even the money that you collected for, what's it called?
Caution
will not be enough. So it is proactive for landlords to always go in and check periodically.
Mm.
But of course, you should give ample notice to your tenant. I will be coming in on Saturday from 12 o'clock to 4 o'clock and I'll be bringing my workmen.
Mm.
So for some agreements, you have to put it in writing. For some people, it's oral. Just give advance notice.
Mm.
You can't just badge in and say, I want to come in for an inspection. No, it has to be prearranged.
Mm.
Because for that, peaceful and quiet possession, that's on the part of the landlord.
Yes.
Yes. Putting in the property in a safe and habitable environment. You know, you can structurally, the house has to be fit for purpose. You can't put people in a house that has been marked for demolition.
but we tend to see a lot of those houses, don't we?
It's wrong. By law and even between the tenant and the landlord, you can't.
Mm.
When you knew in your past that this property structurally is in distress and is already marked for demolition, you're not putting people there. It is wrong. It's a breach of the covenant.
Ah.
Then, of course, as a tenant, you have a duty to not to commit the property to waste and to put it in good use.
Mm.
Please, because it's not your property, doesn't mean you should use it anyhow. Use it, you know, so that your landlord will be happy.
My dear.
It's a covenant.
But how do you, because you see, the truth is, we own houses where, you know, by the time the people moved out of the house, you needed to bring fumigators to fumigate the house first. Because it looked like a proper rat house. and you wondered how these people lived with these rodents and all of these. It's terrible.
Cause an action against the landlord, the tenant. If the, you know, there's a space for reasonable wear and tear. Of course, if you give me your apartment, of course, the house, I can't give it back to you. But in England, Marianne, when you are leaving a property, you have to hand it over as close as much as what was given.
Absolutely.
Of course, reasonable wear and tear is expected. You know, reasonable. Mm-hmm. Probably the toilet, maybe the tiles are not, you know, looking that sharp. The kitchen sink is not new and sparkling. And no, reasonable wear and tear. Yeah. But not to the extent of putting the place in an absolute state of disrepair.
What if?
So if your caution is used, is applied towards it, and it's not enough to cover the cost, the landlord can come against you. Action.
Wow.
Bring an action against you.
What about a case where the landlord or the landlady is one of those people that every time you say, well, I need to fix this, I don't need your money, I can pay for it, but I'd need for you to take it out of my, you know, rent or whatever, you know, but the person never wants to do it. And so you say, okay, well, we'll go manage Amsu. In that case, you're now moving out and you say, well, I tried, I fixed a couple of things, but you refused to give me back my money. So the rest of them, I left them the way, you know, you're seeing them. So how do you address that?
So that is the essence, right, of agreement. In the agreement, there are always express covenants where it takes care of who should repair what. Mm-hmm. But as part of implied covenant, landlords are expected to fix the exterior of the property, mm-hmm. if it's jointly used, mm-hmm. then of course the structural, probably the roof. If the roof is leaking, serious plumbing work, serious one, not that my sink in my kitchen is blocked and you're calling your landlord. You know, probably the house is cracking, windows, you know, serious structural work. It is implied and it should be stated in your tenancy agreement that who is to do what. If the landlord pushes that responsibility to you and you sign off in your tenancy agreement, I'm sorry, you have that responsibility.
Yeah, you do.
That is why I said it's strictly contractual. So you have to be very careful before you append your signature when you're moving in. Please ask to see what you're signing. Then, of course, if there are fundamental things in the house that are stated and the landlord refuses to fix it, you can take, if it's something that you cannot manage, and take for instance the roof is leaking, of course you won't be able to manage it, especially if it's during
rainy season.
You take the initiative to fix it. What you do is you notify your landlord first. If there's no response, document it. Please put it in white and black. Right? Send him about maybe two or three messages detailing what has happened and the effect. Then if he refuses to fix it, then send him another letter detailing how much it will take, the expense, and how much. Then give him an option of him fixing it or you fixing it. If he doesn't respond, take the initiative to fix it. Then you have your receipt. And I set it up against the next rent. That's what I always advise. But the landlord will not want to make trouble with you.
Exactly.
In that situation, practically, I'm now telling you practically, I'm not telling you law from the books. It can happen. You have choices. If you think it's minimal, if it's negligible and you want your peace of mind, you might let it go. But if it's fundamental or if the amount is significant, you can challenge the landlord. That is why I always refer people to the mediation center. They do a lot of mediation between landlord and tenants. And the one in Lagos is very effective.
Okay.
They will invite and they will mediate. I'm sorry, please. You guys are disturbing. I'm sorry.
Well, let's quickly, since we're talking about keeping places clean, we need to keep our bodies clean. You know, when you walk into a place, people need to know that you have arrived. You understand? Like, Kevin, if you arrive like this, I know that you are wearing Wazobia perfume. I know. Tell me about it.
Okay. Lagos, introducing the essence of true authenticity in fragrance, Wazobia perfume, the correct scent. It's a unique blend that captivates the authentic spirit of Nigeria, now available in both perfume and body spray. Designed for everyone. Yes, you heard it right. Wazobia is a unisex fragrance, perfect for both men and women. Its rich and versatile aroma is a statement of inclusivity and unity. Unleash your confidence with every spray. Are you a retailer or do you love to buy in bulk? We've got you covered across Nigeria. Wazobia perfume comes in cartons of 24 bottles and the body spray is available in cartons of 48. Interested in making Wazobia perfume a part of your collection or store? For carton purchases, contact us at contactwazobiacosmetics.ng. That is at contactwazobiacosmetics.ng or call us on 0809-597-5981. 0809-597-5981. Our team is ready to assist you with your orders. Wazobia perfume, the correct scent. Your new signature fragrance is just a call or a click away. Authentic, unisex, confident, Wazobia.
Well, I like to smell good. I mean, if there's nothing else my money goes on, it's smelling good. Olamide, you can back me up on this, you know. But in case you're just joining us, it's Madam Landlord, and I still have with us Olamide Unifade. She is a real estate lawyer and also a family lawyer. But today we're talking real estate. We're talking about contracts and signing covenants before you go into a rental, whether it's an apartment, whether it's a shop, whether it's an office. You need to read the fine print and understand it. Sometimes, if you have a friend like Olamide, you send it to her to read it in case there's plenty. In case there's plenty English that you cannot understand, Olamide is going to help you. But it's very important, Olamide, to talk about mediation here, because a lot of people quickly just say, "Well, I'm going to court. Let's go to court. I will charge my landlord to court because landlord did not do like this." Let's talk about the importance of mediation in cases like this, especially if, the monies that you've used in those repairs, it's not something that you can easily just overlook. How does mediation really help?
Of course, the mediation was, you know, that's what it's called, mediation. They did between both parties to see who is at fault, how they can balance it. Can there be a compromise reached and all of that? And because he's an arm of the government, he has a bit of a force of law. Though it's not a court of law, but it's persuasive, you know. But if mediation fails, then you can go to court if you think it will be worth it. For some people, it's not the money. It's just the principle. You know, it's just my right and I want to ventilate it. So it's fine. I always advocate for mediation first. So that number one, we don't clog the courts with, you know, all this simple
things, yes,
contractual matter that can be sorted at mediation. And also because of the time and cost,
yes,
litigation is not cheap.
It's expensive,
right?
Of course, yes, it is.
It's not cheap.
It's expensive,
and it can be a long process. So sometimes if it's negligible, simple contractual issues, please approach the mediations.
Approach the mediation. Okay, well, I know that you have questions, so many questions. But before we go to the questions and open up the phone lines, we're still talking about money here. It's expensive to go to court. Don't go to court. But if you need money, there's money here. Yes, One Play is giving you an opportunity to make some money.
I did say they shouldn't go to court.
Well, you need money. You need money to go to court. You want to give them money. Auntie, don't spoil our reggae with your blues.
Lagos, don't forget that you too can join the winning team and win yourself good money here, okay? With as little as 500 Naira. Yes, Lagos, 500 Naira. And in a few seconds, your tickets will be in the draw. Remember, Lagos, the more you play, the better your chances of winning. And guess what? You can win on almost every show. There's money on the Money Crossfire. There's money on WhatsApp Lagos, Game On shows. And you have Football Frenzy show that happens every weekend. And every Friday, there'll also be a jackpot. All you have to do to partake in this is go to www.oneplay.ng or simply dial the code *347*880#3#, okay? And remember, whether you play on the website or you use the USSD code, your chances of winning are the same. Lagos, don't forget to play responsibly, but also tell a friend.
to tell a friend. I've told my friend Olamide, because Olamide, I can't play. And I need 500,000 now, you know? If I could... You know,
I've just played now and then just
I could have won it. I could have won a lot,
you know. I've won
anyway. Let me know if Ade is still here with us. The phone lines are open 0201-465-7190. I'd like to hear from you. You have questions, you got comments. Have you found yourself in a fix where maybe the contract it put you in a chokehold? Or maybe you are the one who has an upper hand because you signed the contract, and then maybe your landlord or your landlady is erring and you want to know what the next line of action would be. Well, here's an opportunity for you to ask the lawyer in the studio. And someone is saying, whose duty is it to pay tenement rates? Stanley from Ikotun. Olamide, we have just 40 seconds. Can you do justice before I go on a break?
In most cases, the landlords pay. But if you put it in his agreement that you pay all the outgoing taxes and tenement rates, and you fail to see that part and you don't challenge it, then it should be the duty of the tenant.
Ah, so, go back and look at your contract. Look at the fine print. And if it's oral contract, check if you have exchanged any text message in that regard. That's what you're going to use as proof. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, it's still Madam Landlord, 99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm Mary Ann O'Connell. Lamide Onifade on the other side of the Zoom line. We'll be right back after this break.
It's Hard Facts with Mary Ann O'Connell on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, it's still Madam Landlord, and I still have Olamide Onifade on the line with us today on the show. And we've got questions already. We're talking about contracts and covenants and why it's very important when you're renting. Olamide, there's a question here from Abe before we go to the phone lines. Abe says, I need an answer to this question concerning notice of quit, which a police had settled between a landlord and his tenant. But some tenants still, that same tenant is still arguing. Does a quit notice number of months starts from the day the tenant's rent expires on or before, as long as it covers the tenant's rent expiration day? Olamide, over to you. Even me, I'm confused.
Long, so I didn't pick it.
Okay, let me read it again.
Okay.
He says, just a second.
A police
had settled. He had mediated, but some of the tenants are still arguing. So she's asking, does a quit notice number of months starts from the day a tenant's rent expires, or is it on or before, or as long as it covers the tenant's rent expiration day?
Yes, that's the answer. So if, for instance, it depends on what you sign in the agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it is not certain, it's not sacrosanct that you must be given a 6-month notice to quit.
Okay.
It depends on what you sign in your contract. So it's very imperative that you look at your contract very well, your tenancy agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when there is no provision in your tenancy agreement regarding the number of months to be given or the number of, to be given, then you now have to refer to the statutory notices. The statutory notices says that if you are a yearly tenant, which means you pay your monthly your rent yearly, then you're entitled to 6 months.
Okay.
If you pay half yearly, you're entitled to 6 months. If you pay quarterly, then you're entitled to 3 months notice.
Mm-hmm.
If you pay monthly, then you're entitled to a month notice. That's statutory. If there is no agreement. If you have an agreement and you're a yearly tenant and you sign off for a month notice, you'll be given just a month notice at the expiration of your
contract.
So it's very imperative. So it depends
on what you signed on.
But it must terminate. It doesn't have to terminate on the day of your... Before, that was a provision of the law that it has to terminate on the eve of the anniversary of that tenancy. But now it can extend... even beyond your tenancy. But what is important is that if, for instance, your tenancy is due in December and your landlord decides to give you a notice to quit in that December, so it gives you another 6 months. Say, for instance, it gives you 6 months. That 6 months is going to be paid for. It's not free.
I see. So you pay for that 6 months while you are trying to find another place.
Yes. So in that 6 months, you have to pay for it. Then in that wise, you are not required to pay for the entire 1 year. So you pay for that 6 months that you're given. And it's mandatory that you move out before the expiration.
That's I hope you have gotten it, Oga. Well, we're opening up the phone lines now because we want people to call in. People are already calling in. They have too many questions. This landlord and tenant wahala. 0201-465-7190. That's the number for you to call. 0201-465-7190. You can join the conversation on WhatsApp. Send us a WhatsApp message. Or better so, you can use Twitter. Use the hashtag Hard Facts. We'd like to hear from you. Hello. Welcome to Madam Landlord.
Hi, Marianne.
Hi, Mrs. Oboli. What's the problem with your landlord now? What was it?
Nothing is wrong. My landlord has a beautiful soul. Delectable barista around the day.
I met Mrs. Oboli on Saturday.
We met at the Purple Curtain.
I met Mrs. Oboli.
Very fine woman.
Thank you.
So, my question this evening is that I believe you're always out for mediation. Like you said, it's cheaper and more approachable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not all cases would really go down with mediation because there are some very, very critical cases. So before charging those cases to court, mm-hmm. what would be the plan B before charging them to court? Thank you. Love you.
All right. Olamide. So she's saying the other option before you decide that, aside from mediation, what is the other option before you go to court?
Besides mediation or litigation, there's no halfway about it. If you decide not to employ mediation, then you should be approaching the court immediately.
And you must have your moolah.
Your what?
Your moolah. You must have money.
Well, it depends on who is approaching the court you're going. It depends on the lawyer and all of that. All of it. For some reason, you might even get a pro bono, you know. Yes, I've done rental cases pro bono. If I feel that it's a point of law that's very dear to my heart and I really want to challenge it, why not? I might take it.
Okay, all right.
And the lawyer will be compelled to take pro bono
to
cases.
To take pro bono cases, oh, okay.
Not every time, but at least consider it.
Okay. All right, well, 0201-465-7190. These are the numbers for you to call. You can send me a WhatsApp message. It's 0809-597-5805. That's 0809-597-5805. All right, someone sent us a message. Let me read that message out quickly. This one says, please ask the lawyer, what can one do when you pay for service charge, like a compound cleaner, but the cleaner doesn't sweep your side because you stay downstairs? When I complained, the landlady said I should sweep that side by myself. Wahala, Tipa Joe.
That is this kind of case. Now, you know, you would not go into court for it. It's a bit trivial, but important. Do you understand? I think the landlord should, I think she should approach the landlord and appeal to the conscience of the landlord. And there should be a reason. There should be a reason. Then if they're not servicing him, then you should not pay again.
I mean,
maybe that would force them to come to a negotiation table.
I mean, because if I'm paying service charge and my service charge covers cleaning,
service, so why pay?
Yes, so why would I have to pay for it?
From paying the services for the services if it's not getting.
Ah, okay, all right. Thank you for explaining that because I mean, some people say landlord, you say if you don't pay service charge, I'll pursue you from my house.
Well, if there's a question now, I was going to address something quickly. You know, you talked about and there was a question where the man made reference to policeman mediating in a civil matter. A tenancy matter is purely civil. The police does not have any jurisdiction in that area. However, if the police is stepping in as a mediator, not applying force, or not coming in as in his authority as a policeman, then it's okay. If it's just being a mediator, not a policeman in that regard, it's okay. But if he's not a police, if he's coming in his in his position as a policeman, I think it's very wrong.
Okay.
It's purely civil. It's not criminal. But they don't have any jurisdiction. Except the element of violence and all of that involved, then they might be called in to forestall law, you know, to enforce law and order.
Okay. Someone sent a message here that I don't understand. The person is saying either mediation or arbitration. Arbitration is more preferred than mediation. Do you agree, Olamide?
I would say mediation. Why arbitration? Except if it's a commercial tenant, right?
Okay.
In that regard, you're talking of probably my office building is for a yearly rent of 50 million naira.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Ikoyi and it's for 50 million naira. And my landlord is telling me to evacuate the property, to quit and all of that. And I've done significantly a lot of an improvement on the property. That's my business. It's known for that and all of that. Mm-hmm. With that, in your commercial lease agreement, yeah, there might be provision for arbitration. Why not? You can, arbitration can. But if it's something like a tenancy of 2 million naira, you know, purely residential and all that, I don't think arbitration should be used in that. Arbitration can be costly. Can be as costly as it is.
Okay. All right. Someone here says, my question is, what if your rent expires in December and the quit notice is given in June? So your rent has not expired yet, but then you get a quit notice in June.
Yes.
Does the tenant have a right to spend another 6 months after the December or exactly December?
No. Exactly. The tenancy will terminate exactly in December.
I see.
Not a day more yet. But you can be served the quit notice during the duration of your tenancy. What is important is that it cannot terminate before the expiration of the tenant.
Mm. Okay. All right. Someone here says, if there are clauses in your tenancy agreement that are in contrast with tenancy laws of the state and the matter gets to litigation, will the magistrate go with the tenancy agreement or with the state law? Olu, sending us this one from Lekki.
I didn't get that.
If there are clauses in your tenancy agreement that are in contrast with the tenancy laws in the state and the matter gets to litigation, will the magistrate or the judge or whoever go with the tenancy agreement or will he go with state laws?
Oh, definitely. The law is superior to private arrangements. So if there's already a provision for that and it's in, it's against with a statutory provision, of course, statutory provision will take precedence.
Okay. All right. Another person here says, in every agreement, there is a clause for an arbitrator. This person saying, I'm an estate lawyer. He's still talking about arbitration being preferable over mediation.
That's a choice. I've spoken about my choice. It's okay. I said, if it's something, the rent is substantial, right? And the interest there is also substantial. You can. But arbitration isn't cheap. I am given the options of what is cheap and fast.
Yeah.
So if you want to use arbitration, it's fine. That's a personal choice.
Absolutely. All right. This one says, how does a year rent read, please? Because I moved into a single room apartment last year, which the rent read April to March. So paying the next rent early this month, she said she will be due for that. I don't understand. Let me read it again. How does a year rent read, please? Because I moved into a single room apartment last year, which the rent read April to March. So paying the rent early this month, she said she will be due for February, which makes it 11 months. Is that right? So he's asking, how does it work? When should you know that your rent is expiring?
Okay, so if, for instance, you take a tenancy and it runs from January, so you pay January 1st.
Mm-hmm.
So your tenancy is going to run from the 1st of January to the 31st of December.
Okay.
Not 1st of January the following year.
Mm-hmm.
So it expires a day before the resumption of another tenancy.
Mm-hmm.
So on the 1st of April, I'm sorry, on the 1st of January the following year, it will start again.
Mm-hmm.
So your rent is due on the 31st of March.
I see.
Every 31st, I said March. Every 31st of December, your rent will be due.
Okay. So that's how it reads. So you just know it's that simple and straight to the point. I wish I could take all the messages, but there are too many messages that are coming in. And unfortunately, this is all the time that we have. I want to say thank you. Olamide Onifade is a real estate lawyer. She's also a family lawyer. And we've been talking about contracts and, you know, what we call covenants and why it's important. But I will do you guys a solid. Olamide is on social media. Just Google Olamide Onifade. You'll find her on social media. There's a number on her social media on Instagram. Send her a WhatsApp message. She has answers to all your questions. Olamide, thank you so much for coming on the show.
It was a pleasure, Pete.
All right. Thank you very much. Lagos, we've got to go on a break. On the other side of the clock, we'll be talking about federal government clamping down on prices in the open market. Stay with us.